Kevin Sinclair here with Irish Illustrated at irishillustrated.com, joined by Eric Thomas, a new member of our staff at Irish Illustrated, covering recruiting reporting along with me. Big day today, Notre Dame landing top 100 cornerback, Dallas Golden out of Berkeley Prep in Tampa. Huge win. Eric, what do you think?
Yeah, very, very exciting for the Fighting Irish. Anytime you can get a top defensive back, is always going to be a major recruiting win. But obviously, someone with the versatility that Golden provides, he can play safety, he can project a corner, he plays pretty much every single position on the offense. He's a unique athlete from a highly athletic hotbed of recruiting talent. So it's a big time win.
Yeah, you know, and they've been recruiting, Berkeley Prep and some of their top players for years. I remember this was actually before my time covering Notre Dame recruiting, wide receiver Nelson Aguilar. He was a top priority recruit many years ago. USC, Notre Dame were definitely among his, top few in the end. And, he slipped through the cracks. Of course, he went on to have an excellent career. Beyond that, my first year covering recruiting, it was Nick Petitfrere. I think he might have been the highest ranked recruit Notre Dame was in on, alongside, Amon-Ra St. Brown and a few others. Petitfrere, again, just this perfect fit. That school is an excellent school, challenging academically. He slipped through the cracks. And then we all know what happened with Keon Keeley, of course. Notre Dame did land preferred walk-on linebacker Trey Reeder, and his brother, who plays baseball at Notre Dame, committed to Notre Dame baseball around that same time. So they do have a few products of Berkeley Prep at Notre Dame, not the big flashy recruits from Berkeley Prep until now, of course. And like you were saying, this kid plays, wildcat quarterback, running back, receiver, cornerback, safety. I believe he returns punts at times as well. So a dynamic player. And Eric, we've talked about it before. He's just sort of that guy that we saw, Notre Dame often be in the top three or four or whatever it may be, but just not quite land in the end during the Kelly era. And this is kind of another breaking precedent moment, I guess you could say. Maybe that's a little dramatic, but, kind of guy we didn't, we just didn't really see. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I fully agree. I think when you look back to, especially the back end of the Kelly era, when you look at some of the defensive backs that were brought in, especially with an outlook specifically on corner, one of the common themes that you see is when you get guys who meet this sort of athletic profile, right? Guys who are a little bit more versatile, they definitely have the high-end athletic traits. These are typically less developed corners technically than what we're seeing right now. You're getting your guys like, JoJo Johnson looked like a great athlete, but he wasn't necessarily a well put together corner, and his 3-star ranking, reflected that. This is a guy who is legitimately top 100. And although he does play more of like a, safety corner hybrid, he does show a really high level and I would say advanced skill set for the amount of time that he's actually played defensive back and corner specifically. And he's just the sort of athlete that you would see, looking at Notre Dame, he would take the visit, you would get the whispers like, oh, it's looking good for Notre Dame. And then at the last second, Georgia comes in, gets an offer out, and he goes there. USC comes in, gets an offer out, and he goes there. And it's just really exciting to see that this is something where Notre Dame identified this prospect early, along with a number of top schools. They were able to fight through that and ultimately, land the fish, so to speak, able to finish out the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And these are, these are top schools they're battling. I know that you're a source with knowledge of his recruitment. I know that Clemson was a big player for him there. And then, of course, in the season, Notre Dame went down to Clemson, did not play well that day and lost the football game. And I kind of wondered how much that might impact it. Alabama was knocking on the door. Florida State was all over him. There was choppers landing at his school. Someone I know actually was at his school just to start, working on some reporting on him, and a helicopter landed on their campus that day when he was there. And so, this is a sought after kid. And then Eric, we were talking about it earlier. It's imperative, of course, when Marcus Freeman came to Notre Dame, the ways in which he could improve recruiting. And first and foremost, it was a really big need to improve quarterback and receiver, those two rosters. They've obviously done that so far and continue to do that. But in the bigger picture, just more of those big time recruits, the top 100 or very close to top 100 big impact guys. And I was just looking through the list of those types of players that they've landed since Freeman, you know, came to Notre Dame, you know, Kingston Viliamuasa, Gorby Lambert, Ivan Taylor, Cam Williams, quarterbacks Deuce Knight and CJ Carr, both top 75 composite recruits. Bryce Young, who was a five-star with 24/7 Sports, Charles Jagasa, Jeremiah Love, and now we've got, you know, there's cornerbacks Christian Gray and Dallas Golden, Drake Bowen, and then the list goes on with guys who are ranked a little bit lower than that, but still really, really important recruits. And I think, you know, it's not this like doubling of the amount of top 100 recruits or tripling, like it's not, you know, as substantial as that, but it is an increase. And we didn't see guys like, again, Kingston Viliamuasa and Dallas Golden, you know, choosing Notre Dame very often under Freeman's predecessor. So that's a really big deal. And then kind of moving on to the class impact, Derek, you had a really good report recently on cornerback recruiting. Dallas Golden obviously was a big part of that breakdown. Take us through your thoughts on sort of the class and like the position impact and overall, you know, kind of class impact with Golden in the fold now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you want to kind of look at this in context, right? So I think when you're looking at cornerbacks, the context that's sort of appropriate is defensive backs as a total group. As of right now, with Golden committed, that puts Notre Dame at a position where they have five defensive backs committed for the class, you know, three safeties and two corners. Cree Thomas has a unique sort of versatility to be able to play both, which obviously we've talked about Golden having as well. So there's obviously quite a bit of functional versatility in the class, which you always want to see, especially when you're projecting a bit. In terms of his impact on sort of the class moving forward, how they impact Notre Dame early, Notre Dame's going to be in a unique spot. A number of the corners are expected to either exhaust their eligibility or leave after this season. Notably, Benjamin Morrison is going to likely be amongst those groups. You can't necessarily say it's for sure, but given what he's put on tape and what we're expecting from his ascension this upcoming season, you'd anticipate he's going to be a big-time NFL draft prospect and will leave. That is going to open up a major, major opportunity for playing time for young guys. You're going to see Christian Gray, and you're going to see Jaden Mickey presumably step up into the starting roles. But much like we saw, you know, them sort of filter into that third, fourth corner role when they were freshmen, you're going to need to see young corners stepping up for that, you know, corner three through five, even three through six role, if you're going to impact special teams. That's going to present a really good opportunity for someone like Golden, who is a great athlete, to make their mark, kind of maybe start with an inside lane towards those depth positions just because of how physically well he's put together. And I think ultimately it's going to open up a door for a young player as a true freshman to earn potentially rotational time within that. That's significant for Notre Dame to be able to get a player who doesn't necessarily need a year of physical development to be able to make impact plays, even, you know, not in the starting capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and then just sort of in a general sense, thinking about what it means to have high level cornerbacks. Well, you know, throughout the whole sort of Kelly era, even before Kelly era as well, Notre Dame would have, you know, basically in a general sense, their cornerbacks, a starting tandem or top three, we're somewhere in the range of, you know, like good to above average, some years maybe a little bit below average, but they never didn't often have like these amazing tandems. We saw them last year, Benjamin Morrison, a, you know, seemingly a very likely first round pick, and then Cam Hart, who is a veteran who, you know, just played excellent football for them these last couple of years. We saw how that impacted the defense, right? We saw what that meant. We all remember Notre Dame playing Clemson and Alabama in the playoffs and what the past defense looked against those high level teams. You know, then we also saw Notre Dame play Ohio State early in the season. We saw Benjamin Morrison matched up on Marvin Harrison Jr. and the way Cam Hart played, you know, Thomas Harper in there at nickel. So if they can sort of keep that rolling here, and it seems like they're getting the Jimmies and Joes you need to do that, we now know what that means, what that gives you a shot, right, against those top level teams with big time receivers. So, you know, and then the next thing the other thing I was thinking about is just Mike Mickens, you know, really becoming a legitimate star assistant coach from a coaching development standpoint, also from a recruiting standpoint. That's also spreading over to the safety position now, because that, you know, he covers the whole defensive backfield now. What are your thoughts on Mike Mickens, Eric?
Yeah, Mickens was obviously someone who came over before Marcus Freeman, but very much so falls under his coaching tree and sphere of influence, if you will. I've been really impressed with him since he first stepped into the role coaching Notre Dame's cornerback, 4 years ago. And now obviously stepping into a larger holistic role with the defensive back room. Look, you look at the guys that they've brought in the last few cycles and the immediate impact that they've had and the ability to get young guys rolling very, very quickly. Identification is part of that, right? They identified guys who were good players in high school, went after them, and were able to get them in the class. But that continued development, especially early in their careers, once they get there, is really a testament to what Mickens is able to do as a coach when these guys get to Notre Dame and kind of mold that raw talent into something very, very productive. So I'm really impressed with him. Obviously, taking on the new role is quite a step up in terms of responsibility, especially with how popular Chris O'Leary was with recruits and how impactful he was on the trail. So there's a lot of responsibility that's been shifted onto him. I think what we've seen so far from him, especially with the retention and the positivity around like Ivan Taylor, and you're seeing the continued growth of the cornerback class, I think the early returns on that transition are highly positive, and I would anticipate them to continue moving in that direction. I really think Coach Mickens is an excellent assistant coach, and I know his name was sort of maybe more in the periphery of defensive coordinator jobs last cycle. I anticipate that will be more of a conversation after this upcoming season and after Benjamin Morrison stakes his claim as a draft prospect.
Mm-hmm. Excellent points there. And, you know, just to sort of wrap up this discussion here, you know, what comes next at cornerback? Mark Zachary, Tristan Haynes, of course, Zachary from in-state over in Indianapolis, Ben Davis, phenomenal athlete. If you check out his basketball highlights, holy smokes, that kid, 5 foot 10 and a half is what he's listed. His dunking ability is really fun to watch. Really sharp kid too. Spoke with his dad, who is on the coaching staff there at Ben Davis. Just seems like a really great family. And I know that, you know, his mom likes the fact that Notre Dame's close to home, as most moms, you know, do, of course. And he's also looking at other schools, Michigan, Florida, and Cincinnati was a school that's been recruiting him for a very long time and very heavily. So he's going to sort of, you know, it wasn't too long ago where we felt like he wasn't like a shoe-in to commit to Notre Dame, but felt like it was very, very likely, to the point where, you know, multiple recruiting reporters were putting in legit crystal ball predictions for him to Notre Dame. It now seems like it might be a little less certain than that. But he will be taking an official visit to Notre Dame. He visited in March while Deuce Knight was on campus. And, you know, that went well. So, you know, we'll sort of see what happens there. Tristan Haynes from Oklahoma City. He's got basically like a close family friend that's a Notre Dame alumnus and who actually works at Notre Dame right now, very close with his dad. And I believe his uncle as well. He visited Notre Dame recently. He's going to take a few official visits in June, including Notre Dame. They got a shot there. There's a Dallin Penson, incredible athlete out of Georgia, you know, was offered not too long ago, planning to camp at Notre Dame in early June. And so they've got a few options there. What are your thoughts on that in terms of rounding out this class and having a shot at a few more high-level cornerbacks?
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about a unique athlete. We highlighted Golden, but Zachary very much so fits that mold. Not the biggest guy, but he's just so fluid in his movements. He's explosive. I mean, he can jump out of the gym. He's a guy you absolutely want to have on your roster. And I think, you know, just sort of looking at the evaluations for corners, he may end up actually being the top corner on Notre Dame's board when it's all said and done for this cycle.
Yeah, I agree.
Haynes is obviously someone that you spoke with. I know that he's got maybe a little bit more of that prototypical size. He's a great athlete. He's someone who I think would offer a ton of value at for Notre Dame. I think for him, similar with Zachary, with the timeline being a little bit unsettled between the two of those, with upcoming visits and maybe just considerations still hanging, it is someone that I think for either of them, whoever pulls the trigger to commit first could end up taking the other person's slot, or potentially could push the pressure onto that person where the coaches say, hey, you got to move quickly. You got to make a decision because we're trying to fill up this class. We may end up taking, you know, an extra wide receiver if you don't commit by X timeline. So it's going to be interesting. For me personally, I definitely think, you know, if we can get Zachary in this class, it's an A-plus defensive backs class, sort of regardless of what happens with Haynes and safety Jaden Blair. Henson I'm a little bit less familiar with in terms of his overall game, but from what I've seen, I really do like what he brings to the fold. I think he is far more than a consolation prize for missing out on Zachary and Haynes, although Notre Dame has positioned themselves where they can effectively recruit him with that outlook, which is a very privileged position to be in if you're looking at defensive back recruiting in 2025.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, if we're not stressing the details and we're just looking at brass tacks in the class, hey, they've got Dallas Golden and Cree Thomas. Currently, if that was their class, that would follow Leonard Moore, Carson Hobbs, two players. I would not be surprised at all if they became excellent cornerbacks at Notre Dame, following Christian Gray, Benjamin Morrison, Jaden Mickey. Of course, Micah Bell was there, who has since indicated he's entering the transfer portal. You compare that to what they're adding over the years before then: Philip Riley, Ryan Barnes, JoJo Johnson, Caleb Offord, Isaiah Rutherford, KJ Wallace, Clarence Lewis. The contrast is stark. We were talking about it earlier, Eric. So big win for Notre Dame. Really high-level player at a school they need to get a foothold in. They have that now. Excellent development for Notre Dame. Dallas Golden's a special football player. But that wraps up our first edition of our recruiting podcast together, Eric and I. And we plan to make these a regular thing at Irish Illustrated. Look for another podcast coming up here soon to discuss a little bit of 2025 ongoings, along with some 2026 recruits who have stood out to us during spring camp and possibly more. That's it for us. Thanks for tuning in to Irish Illustrated's recruiting podcast. I'm Kevin Sinclair here with Eric Thomas, and that's it for us.